Here comes Dr. Naiman.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's topic is menopause. Today's guests are Dr. Kimberly Winstar and Dr. Xiaoli Chen. Dr. Winstar is a naturopathic physician who has practiced here in Portland for 15 years. She is a teacher and clinical supervisor at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine and the creator of the Advanced Gynecology Seminar Series for medical students and physicians. Dr. Xiaoli Chen is a visiting professor and full-time faculty member also at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine and was the vice chief physician at Chengdu University of Traditional Chinese Medicine in China for more than 20 years before coming to Portland. Dr. Chen's areas of interest range from women's health to neurological and mental diseases, and they are both here today to discuss natural approaches to menopause as well as to inform our listeners about an upcoming community clinic about this topic. So this is a great opportunity for listeners of Health Watch if you have questions for two experienced local physicians. The number here at the studio is 503-231-8187. So this seems like the perfect time to talk about menopause, given the fact that for many decades, hormone replacement therapy was really promoted as the standard and the cure-all for a lot of symptoms, as well as having tons of long-term benefits. And it seems like a lot of that has really been undermined lately, and both a lot of confusion has come out of that and also perhaps a resurgence in looking for natural approaches. So let's start with you, Dr. Winstar, and perhaps you can just give us a quick idea of how a naturopath might view menopause as a phenomenon to start out with.
Well, first of all, it's viewed by us as a natural process. It's a normal transition. It's not a disease state. And that's the first and foremost thing that we want to remember, is that this happens to women as they age, and their body doesn't have hormones anymore, and that's natural, normal for her. So our goal in dealing with menopause is to address the symptoms and the issues that come up for her naturally without, you know, impacting her in an invasive way with medications, to address the functional issues that are underlying the changes that are going on in her body.
One of the things that I think is a real strong point about naturopathic medicine and menopause is we seem to take it as an opportunity to evaluate the overall health of people at that time. And there are things that naturopaths do to assess risk factors going into the second part of someone's life. What could you explain a little bit about what someone might expect that might be different than their medical visit when they're going in, perhaps with their first symptoms, or maybe their menstrual cycle's getting a little irregular and they're wanting to be proactive about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do everything that an allopathic or a medical doctor would do, as far as the usual physical exam, blood work for heart health and mammograms, PAPs, those kinds of things. Maybe consider a bone density scan at that time as well. But the other things that we do that are a little bit different are looking at all the hormonal states, adrenal gland health, thyroid health, as well as the sex hormone issues that are going on for her, because they're actually a triad that interact very, very closely, and when one changes, the other two will as well. And addressing those on a functional level can really help with alleviating symptoms. So that's one of the things we do differently.
And Dr. Chen, from a Chinese perspective, how do the Chinese look at menopause from their medical system, and how would you talk to our listeners about the ways in seeing a Chinese medical practitioner might be different than seeing a conventional Western doctor?
For the Chinese medicine perspective, normally with some Max Bastion support the energy. So even it's the same menopause, but due to the different symptoms and the syndrome differentiation, the treatment totally different.
Well, I've read that in Asia there's actually a lot less incidence of hot flashes, for instance, than America. And I wonder if that has to do with differences in diet or in lifestyle or in stress management. What is your experience having spent a lot of your career in China and now here in Portland between women there and women here in terms of the symptoms that they experience?
Yeah, it's true. Here, when I work at our clinic, it seems to say more women with the menopause complaining hot flashes is more those kind of symptoms. I think this is definitely related to the lifestyle and the diet. For example, if people with the more Chinese medicine call it a warm food, like a coffee, and also stress lifestyle, then that's easy to disturb the inside, then easy to make the body lose their balance, then show more hot flashes, those kind of symptoms. So the treatment not just focus on the acupuncture and herbs, and also we recommended try to change their lifestyle, also can help reduce the symptoms.
We're talking today with Dr. Xiaoling Chen and Dr. Kimberly Winstar about natural approaches to menopause. If you'd like to join the conversation here on Health Watch, the number is 503-231-8187. Well, let's go back to the naturopathic approach. And what sort of things would you impart from a dietary perspective, since there are obviously dietary influences on a lot of these symptom manifestations from menopausal patients?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to Dr. Chen, and I would concur with her that we also look at women differently. Every, you know, you could line up 10 menopausal women, and you'd find 10 different ways to approach each woman. And the issue with stress and the issue with the lifestyle that we live in America creates a deficiency in the adrenal glands, which then doesn't allow a woman to produce estrogen and progesterone and other hormones when her ovaries stop. And so looking at that, like excessive stress and coffee consumption, alcohol consumption, tobacco use, lifestyle issues of lack of exercise, and then dietarily, definitely, you know, the standard American diet creates all kinds of issues for women when they come into menopause. I think that it accentuates hot flashes, insomnia, night sweat when you have the imbalances from those kinds of dietary discretions. And helping patients to change those things not only help with the symptoms of, say, insomnia, hot flashes, night sweats, but it also prevents all the chronic illnesses and diseases like heart disease and cancer and diabetes, the most common conditions in our culture. So it's really beneficial to address those with her at the time.
Are there some specific foods that are particularly good for menopause?
Well, some particularly really good foods that I think most women could use without any problem would be ground flax seeds. They really help prevent breast cancer, and they support the body in thinking there is an estrogen in her system when there really isn't. Probiotics are really helpful. Soy is helpful, but I'm very cautious with soy. There's a lot of controversy about soy, and I think we've gone overboard with it. So I recommend it in a very small or moderate amount, and to use fermented sources would be the best. And then just a whole foods diet. More vegetables and fruits and things like that are really helpful in decreasing the symptoms of menopause.
Well, we've definitely had people on the whole spectrum around soy on Health Watch. And so from what I gather from your perspective, you would argue against potentially concentrated soy products that are isolates from the food.
Definitely.
And what are some of the dangers that you've seen with soy, or that are coming out in the controversy around soy?
Well, one of them in particular that's very common I see is that women start to develop a sensitivity to soy from taking the isolates, especially in the form of, say, like a protein powder that they make a drink with. But also, there's controversy around breast cancer and things like that. So, you know, until there's more evidence that it's really safe on all the forms, I stick to the fermented forms.
And you had mentioned flaxseed meal. I think a lot of people are really familiar with flax oil,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people haven't really heard about the flaxseed meal. Is that something that they get in the store or something they have to make themselves?
Yeah, they can get that at any natural food stores. Organic flax seeds, you can get them in bulk or you can get them in bags. And you just grind them in a coffee grinder and put them in your food every day. And after you grind them, you refrigerate them. But that's how you use them.
And Dr. Chen, from the Chinese perspective, I'm assuming you use a dietary approach as well for some of the menopausal symptoms. Are there some foods that you might recommend or particularly recommend to avoid?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, for the different type of the menopause symptoms, the definitely different type of the food we recommend. For example, if the patient have more night sweat and hot flashes, we think it's more essence deficiency, yin deficiency. So for those type of the menopause symptoms, we suggest the patient can take some wolfberry. It's a small red seed that's can cooked with the rice, make a congee. Also very good for nourishing the essence, the yin, make the symptoms less. And the patient also can take some walnut. That's also very good to support the kidney function. If the patient is more like a fatigue, the energy deficiency symptoms, then we suggest the patient can try to avoid not to take too much spicy and sweet food, and then more take some fish, chicken soup, those kind of food. Very good for that.
And is there a from an herbal and an acupuncture perspective, do you see one of them as being more important than the other for menopause, or is it really dependent on the person? Because I think a lot of people are probably surprised. In America, it seems like people think of acupuncture and they think of pain relief, but hearing about hot flash relief, for instance, with acupuncture is probably surprising to some of our listeners.
Really should depend on the different patient's body constitution. Actually, acupuncture and the herbs, both very good for the menopause, but should depend on the symptoms and the syndrome differentiation. For some patients, we more use the acupuncture. For example, if the patient with mental, emotional, those kind of change, like a cry, stress, then acupuncture immediately can make the symptoms much better. But for the root, the treatment, we want to nourish, support the deficiencies, then combined with the herbs, it's more effective. So most of the time in the clinic, we combine acupuncture and herbs together.
Let's take a minute and just talk a little bit about the community clinic, and we can revisit it again at the end of the show, too. Dr. Winstar, could you share a little information about what the goal of the clinic is and what's going to happen in the community?
The goal of the clinic is to provide an opportunity for women to come and have assessment either through the classical Chinese medicine assessment or naturopathic assessment. And there are two different times when you can do that, and they're $25 visits for an hour visit. And that is that the Chinese medicine assessments are from 9 to 12, and the naturopathic visits will be from 2 to 4. And from 12:30 to 2, we have a free lecture that Dr. Chen and I will both be lecturing on menopause to people that want to come and hear about natural approach to menopause.
And which day is this?
It's on May 13th. And so it's a Saturday, this coming Saturday, and it's going to be at the Pettigrove Classical Chinese Medicine Clinic through the college, which is at 2232 Northwest Pettigrove Street in Portland. And the phone number to make appointments for these visits is 503 1-800-552-1552.
And again, we're talking with Dr. Winstar and Dr. Chen about natural approaches to menopause. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number here is 503-231-8187. So for those listeners out there who are maybe new to natural medicine and nervous about making the leap from their conventional doctor, and maybe want to know if there's research or if there's proof on any of the therapies, are either of you familiar with many studies that have been done either on some natural interventions or on lifestyle and diet with regards to menopause?
I know there are a lot of research studies on even just exercise and hot flashes that we found. Also, things like vitamin C and bioflavonoids, and there was a large study done on that with women in hot flashes and alleviating hot flashes. And there are oodles of studies with the botanicals, black cohosh and Vitex, et cetera, Leonoris, you name it. There are a lot of studies that are available out there.
Are there particular herbs that you use in your practice that you particularly like for menopause management?
There's some combination products that I use quite a bit, unless it doesn't seem to fit her presentation. But they generally have black cohosh and Vitex, dandelion root, and for the liver support, Leonoris. Or motherwort is great for heart palpitations and anxiety related to menopause. And, you know, there's just a variety of them that you can add in if need be, like sage is great for sweating with hot flashes and things like that.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of, with menopause particularly, there seems to be a lot of crossover in the herbs that are used. I know a lot of naturopaths use Dong Gui or Dong Quai, and so there's some sharing of some of the herbs, but there's a pretty big difference in terms of the way herbs are used. I know in Chinese medicine, often the number of herbs mixed together is quite large.
Yes, the Chinese herbs, most of the time, we combine the single herbs together and make a specific formula for the different type of the menopause. Like you mentioned, the Dong Gui, this is more for the blood deficiency, energy, so very good. Also very good for the irregular menstruation, the Dong Gui use a lot, but all the formula should depend on the syndrome differentiation, give the different type of the herbs. Yeah.
And typically a Chinese formula could have as many as 10 or 12 herbs in a formula, no?
Generally speaking, just around 10, like 8 to 10, that is a more common number of the herbs. But depend, sometimes it could be just two or three, sometimes even just a single herbs also can help relieve the symptoms. For example, if sometimes the patient just complain night sweating, palpitation, then we just give like a Mai Men Dong and a couple of single herbs, also very good to relieve the symptoms.
And when it comes to exercise and Chinese medicine, do you prescribe things like Qigong and Tai Chi for menopause, or more commonly going on walks, or is there any exercise prescription that often will go to a patient that has menopausal symptoms?
And definitely, sometimes we describe the different type of exercise for the individual patient. Some patient is more mental emotional symptoms like stress, anxious. Then we normally suggest the practice Tai Chi. That's a very good combined the physical and internal breathing exercise together. If for some patient more like a fatigue and tired, depressed, those kind of symptoms, so normally we suggest the patient practice Qigong. That's also very helpful.
So there's a differentiation based on the symptoms, on what sort of exercise they do?
Yes, yeah. Not to just say, just go ahead and have some physical exercise. Should it depend on the symptoms and the signs, suggest a different type of exercise.
And from a naturopathic perspective, Dr. Chen had mentioned Tai Chi as good for someone who's overly stressed. How do you go about approaching stress management more specifically? Like, it seems like, I mean, we can look at our culture in the big picture and realize how out of balance it is, but it's very hard to help guide patients often into a place of living differently when the culture itself is moving in one direction.
Yeah, that is definitely a challenge. And there are a lot of things that we can recommend, different types of exercise, meditation, yoga, and things like that. But one of the things I use quite a bit in practice is homeopathy. And homeopathy is so powerful if you can get the right constitutional remedy, or if I use combination homeopathics that seem to suit certain systems for them, like the nervous system, with a particular system of homeopathy that I've been using for over 2 years now called drainage. I find that that really helps people with the nervous system aspect, the liver aspect, those kinds of particular systems that need to be addressed in menopause that are overly stimulated or, you know, functionally imbalanced. That really does seem to make a difference. So those are the tools that I use that might be similar to acupuncture in that they're energetic and they assist those systems in shifting.
And with both of these therapies, how, I know this is probably a hard question to answer, but how quickly should people expect to see results with treatment? I know that it's going to probably depend wildly on how willing people are willing to really go at their diet and their lifestyle and such, but are there interventions that while they're working on some of the harder things such as diet, that they can be seen relief?
Time now for the Dirt Bag. Host Glenn Andreessen today has guests Marge Breaker and Harriet Fassenfest to discuss their new business, which is going to educate people on the art and science of home food preservation. Don't forget that on 11 o'clock, Democracy Now! Today, former CIA analyst Larry Johnson discusses the nomination of four-star General Michael Hayden to head the CIA and media analyst Robert McChesney to discuss the upcoming House vote on Communications Opportunity Promotion and Enhancement Act of 2006. And here comes